Podcast Landia. I am here today with Seth. Seth, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
I met you through Tumblr. And so I know a little bit about some of our overlapping fandom interests, but I don't know your origin story. So tell me about how you got into fandom.
I got into fandom. I started with The Hunger Games. I was part of the Instagram fandom on The Hunger Games. And through that, I kind of found Tumblr, and then I got into the One Direction fandom. And that was where I like started creating content and like writing and stuff. And then Marvel fandom I found through I joined the Marvel fandom after Thor Ragnarok, which I hate saying.
Why do you hate saying it? I like that movie.
Yeah, but it, as far as the characters go, it's not great.
I mean, fair.
And I know that now. And I know that now, but like, I didn't know that when I first watched it. And so I was like, oh, I love this. I want to watch all of them. And then I realized the rest of them were just so much better.
It's a really fun movie, but it is not, not super great with the rest of canon.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was it about it that really dragged? I've never met anybody who entered Marvel through Ragnarok. So what was it about Ragnarok that really got you going?
Loki was hot.
Fair. Listen, no one is going to argue with you on Hiddleston's hotness.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I guess I followed some blogs relating to that, and then I started reading Froststein. I think I must have followed Stars.
Okay.
And I started reading Froststein, and then I was like 50 pages deep in that tag, and I was like, huh, there's other ships, isn't there?
There are a few. Yeah, there are a few. So then from Frost Iron, where did you then follow Tony to other things, or did you keep following Loki?
I'm pretty sure I followed Tony because I don't really ship Loki with very many other people. So I must have followed Tony and like seen him in like a secondary ship in one of the things and gone, oh, that's fun, and click that, and then you just go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. I started with Stucky and really was really into that for a solid couple, which this is a record for me, a solid couple days. And I read an obscene amount of fics in those couple days. And then Tony made an appearance and I was like, oh, wait, pause. I think I need to follow this man. And I read really widely, but like Tony's my bicycle. Like I love him.
That's so valid.
So, yeah. So I want to, before I keep going with Marvel, I am incredibly fascinated with this idea that a fandom existed on Instagram. I have not heard of this before. So Hunger Games was largely on Instagram, or is it that just where you interacted with it?
I think it was largely on Instagram because I never really saw a ton of content on Tumblr for it. But they used to do like Instagram Hunger Games. Where one account would run it and you'd all sign up and you'd post like what you were wearing to the reaping, and you'd write like a little like story of your reaping, and you'd like go through the Hunger Games that way.
Fascinating. So it's like a organized RPM.
Kind of.
In a way. Okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anything like that. That's such a creative way to engage with a fandom that is highly visual.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Oh, that's so cool. Do you still engage, like, do you read Hunger Games fic at all still, or have you largely left that fandom?
I've pretty much left that fandom, yeah.
That's fair. I just interacted with somebody in an auction that still writes Hunger Games fic. So I went on AO3 and was looking through, and I was like, oh, this feels, I hope they regenerate. Like, it feels like there's some real passion there, but it is definitely small. Yeah. So we got to chatting because you are a multi-shipper, which I am as well, and is a contrast to the mono shipping that we're talking about the rest of this episode, but you're also into poly ships, and you're into you more of them than I am, for sure. So I love Stokoni, which everybody on this pod listens to, and they are my main OT3. But yeah. I'm getting into all caps, and I would love for you to talk to me about why all caps works for you.
So it's a really fun dynamic, like with the established canon friendships between Steve and Bucky and Steve and Sam. But then Bucky and Sam don't really have anything like that. They're almost...
they're like antagonists. Rivals. Yeah, they're like rivals. They have that weird kind of fighty chemistry, especially in Civil War.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And there's so many like fun ways you can play with that dynamic, and it's just fun.
But do you read the subships of them? Like, do you also read Steve and Bucky and Steve and Sam? Like, or is it the three of them work best for you?
I do read lots of Stucky. When I read fic, I generally start with, sorry if this goes on a bit of a tangent, but I usually start with a character. So like I start with Bucky a lot. I'll like, okay, I wanna be with Bucky for now. So I'll go to his tag and I'll just scroll until I find something that's interesting. It doesn't really matter what ship it is.
Fascinating. No, I love it. There's lots of people that read like this. And so is that kind of how you stumbled on this trio? You were focusing on one of the three of them and then found this?
Yeah, I think so. It might have also been where I was reading Stucky, and then someone was like, oh, and Sam's here too. And I was like, oh, and Sam's here too. Great.
Tell me more.
Exactly.
Yeah, with a lot of the Marvel characters, I think about them like the episode of Friends where Rachel makes the bad trifle. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
That's okay. So the whole thing is that two pages of a cookbook get glued together. So she ends up making British trifle, but also shepherd's pie. and puts them in one dish. And so it's like a layer of lady fingers, then a layer of beef sauteed with peas and onions, and like all this kind of stuff. And everyone's like, it's the grossest thing. You are a weirdo. And Joey is sitting there eating it all. And he's like, lady fingers, good. Whipped cream, good. Beef, good. And he just keeps eating. And that's often what I feel with some of these trio ships. I'm like, Sam, good. Bucky, good. Steve, good. Like, just keep adding them in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the other one you mentioned to me was Amara Winterhawk, correct?
Yes.
That you've read? So this is, to me, a really comic-centric ship. Are you a comic reader, too? Or is
No,
this
I've never read any of the comics.
Oh, so you've just stumbled into all this kind of stuff entirely through fic?
Yeah.
Fascinating. So tell me a little bit about how that ship works.
Amara Winterhawk?
Yeah, please. I don't know anything about it.
So I'm pretty sure I must have found it through Winterhawk. I read a ton of Winterhawk.
Okay.
Because I love like the shooting competitions, and they're both snipers and they're like both disasters, and
they are both disasters.
And then Steve has a really different personality to that, but also like there's a lot of similarities that like play really well. Like obviously that's why him and Bucky are such good friends,
right?
And then Clint just has different experiences that play really well into that.
Yeah.
It like Steve almost like balances them out a little bit.
Interesting. That makes sense. I don't know why I think of Winterhawk as a comic ship. It might be that everybody who I know that reads it talks about loving Clint from Matt Faction's Hawkeye series.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I haven't read it, but I wanted to.
Yeah. I really like it. I started it recently. I'm very new to comics. And so that's why I thought of it as a comic ship. And so that question must have seemed from left field. I'm so sorry. And then as you were talking, I was like, it's not a comic ship, Flame. What the heck is wrong with you? But I can totally see how he balances them, because Steve is really, especially with the two of them, he'd be a little bit more like the straight man, like, comically.
Yeah, he's a little bit more like clean cut, I guess.
Yeah, he's just not a disaster in the same way. I mean, they're all disasters, yeah. the whole canon. But he's a disaster in a different way.
So. Exactly.
Fascinating. So it just sounds to me like you're a pretty voracious fic consumer. Like you read really widely and kind of whatever makes you happy at the time. Is that fair?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's exciting. Are you, do you create fandom stuff as well? You mentioned earlier that you, that like Marvel's the first ship where you did. Is there a specific ship you, that you create for the most?
I think I've currently, in my published stuff, I think I've done a couple of Winterhawk ones and a couple of Stucky ones, but I don't publish a lot of Marvel stuff.
Totally fair. Totally fair. I have not read a whole lot of Winterhawk, but I need to get into it. I just had to get over the MCU Clint in my head. He doesn't work with Bucky. But
yeah, definitely.
Comic Clint does. So I need to dip into that. So fascinating. Is there anything else about, like, you know, the process of grouping people together and how we do ships that you would like to say?
I don't really think about it too much. Like, I have like the idea that if someone's a good enough writer, they can pretty much make me ship anything. If something works in the context of their story, then they'll make me ship it. Like,
That is a very valid, and I love, as somebody who writes a lot of ships, and I hope people follow me to my various ships, that's very encouraging. So,
yeah.
Fascinating. So do you have, in all of your wide ships and your Bucky deep dives, do you have anything that you'd like to tell our listeners that they should read?
Yeah, sure. Do you have a ship that you want me to...
Anything with Steve and or Tony. So like if you've got some Sam, Bucky, Steve recommendations or the Amara Winterhawk, either one of those would be fine. But yeah, something with Steve or Tony.
Well, Steve, Tony, one of my favorites is the Signs of Life series by Avangard.
Okay.
On AO3.
Tell me about that one.
It's got Peter as a child and he's deaf and he's Tony's kid, and like Steve kind of like they find out about him and Steve like kind of steps up and helps parent him and they fall in love and it's really cute.
Oh, I love super family fix. That sounds adorable.
Exactly. I don't think I have a lot of bookmarks that are polyship. This needs to be fixed. What?
It's okay. All of my polyship bookmarks are Stuckoni, I think, all of them. I have maybe one World War Threesome.
What's that?
Oh, that's Peggy, Bucky, and Steve in the 40s.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I started reading that one entirely because of the ship name. I was like, World War Threesome is one of the funnest things I've heard, and I need to see what the hell this is about. And then I read a really hot one, and absolutely no one can ever ask me to find this again, but where they were, Peggy was making them both wear her stockings.
Right.
As a dare, because, like, I can't remember the context, but then they just all ended up fucking, and I was like, oh, this works. This works for me. I'll stay. I'll stay here for a little bit. This works.
Yeah, that's valid.
So, yeah, there's not a whole heck of a lot of, like, I hear a ship and I go, oh, no. Like, I definitely have a few. But mostly, I'm a little bit like yourself, where I'll just be like, oh, that sounds fine. Like, I'll read that once.
Yeah, see, there's a couple of ships that I wouldn't really, like, click on. Like, I don't tend to click on stuff if, like, it's a Natasha ship that's focused on. I don't know. I just don't. But, like, if it's, like, a background ship, I don't really care too much.
Yeah, I very rarely care about background ships. There are some things I see more as maybe platonic than romantic. So I don't read a whole lot of science bros because they work better as friends for me than as romantic, like Bruce and Tony. I don't read a lot of that ship, but I'm certainly not anti it. I just don't read it a lot. I'm in that camp with you where if it's a really good author, they can make me like just about anything.
Yeah.
Did you find anything else to share with our readers, if listeners? If not, it is not a problem.
Yeah. So it's The Things That Show and Tell Starts by In the Shadows.
Okay.
It's a really cute, do you want me to read the summary?
Please, go for it.
So it's this, Tony decides, has turned into one of the weirdest show and tells he has ever seen, and potentially the deadliest, if the tension grows anymore. which shouldn't be possible, but with this crowd, yeah, let's introduce Bucky and Loki to the team at the same time, honestly.
Oh my god. That would be a disaster and sounds fun. We are definitely going to make sure that's linked in the show notes.
Yeah.
So, well, Seth, this has been a delight. I'm so glad to talk to somebody that I don't normally get a chance to interact with. And thank you so much for joining us and sharing your thoughts on polyshipping.
Thanks for having me.